Hey everyone, welcome back to Heal, Survive, and Thrive. I'm so glad you're here and I'm so excited for today's episode.
So the first thing that I wanted to kind of address was the fact that, and I know when I learned this, I was like, oh, eye opener, oh, okay. And it's not anyone's fault because our parents were most likely not conscious to what they were doing. And I feel like in today's world, parents are becoming, well, just people in general, we're becoming more conscious. We're becoming more aware as to how we're parenting our children, the things that we're saying, the foods we're giving them. We're just more aware in a lot of aspects of life. And I think it's absolutely great. And I just think it's going to continue and vibrations are going to raise. And it's a great time. As much as there's horrific stuff happening in the world, you know, pain equals growth or growth equals pain, whatever the saying is. And I do think that consciously there are a lot of changes that are happening because of the world we live in. So that's coming. That's the glass half full right there. But I kind of just went off on like a little thing there for a minute. But my point is that if you are a people pleaser, if you are someone who is codependent, you were not born that way. And I know I heard this a lot growing up from a lot of different people. You know, you're a people pleaser and you were just born that way, or you're just a worrier and you were born that way. You're not born that way. You're programmed that way. You're unconsciously taught to be that way. So for me, that was a real eye opener. I was like, oh, I actually wasn't born this way. This was something that I picked up along the way, actually, this disease to please. And one of the reasons why we get this disease to please is because of something that is really important to do for our children. And I'm gonna get a lot of old school comments, old school people commenting here, is we didn't give our children choices. You know, we didn't ask their opinions. We weren't always concerned with how they feel and what they were thinking and what they wanted to do. We just had that old school way of, I'm the boss, you're gonna do as I say, et cetera, et cetera. Now, I have a 4-year-old and I am not blind to the fact that there are times when I say, we just need to put on our coat and we can't go do this. And there are exceptions, I think, but I think that, you know, years ago, there were no exceptions. You did everything all the time that your parents wanted to, and you weren't really asked how you felt and what your opinions were and what you wanted for dinner and all of those things. And again, majority of this was always done on an unconscious level. So we're not blaming anyone, but we're just trying to understand why we now have this disease to please. So like I said, most likely you were not given choices. You were not asked questions. You were not given an option of, would you like peas or carrots for dinner? What would you like to go do? And if you did voice your opinion, most likely your opinion was overruled by either what your mom wanted to, your dad wanted to, grandma, grandpa, aunt, uncle, sister, brother, what have you. It's the point is your opinions, if as a child you felt, didn't matter because they were never, you know, no one ever asked you what they were and really were curious as to what your thoughts and feelings were. Now, because of this, you weren't able to hone in on the skill of staying connected to yourself. So when we're babies and, you know, even early stages of being a toddler, we're always connected to ourselves. So we do whatever we want in every moment. We express ourselves. If we're feeling angry, we don't think about, is this going to hurt Susie or is this going to hurt mom? We just say, I'm angry, or I want this and I want that. So we're very connected to what we want and how we feel. Now, we can't grow up and not have boundaries because then we would become a narcissist. But so there has to, like I said, rules to every exception. There's a rule here that we have to go by, or an outline of parenting, or structure, that's a better word. But the point is that you weren't asked what your thoughts were, what your feelings were, enough for you to keep honing in on that skill of being connected to yourself. Now, most likely, and this is just an example, but most likely you had an instance where someone told you to do something and you felt innately as a child that you didn't want to do it, no matter what it is, but you did it and then you got praise for doing it. Now, if I'm a child and I don't want to go do something, I innately feel like I don't want to do that. I don't want to do it. And you're kind of forced to do it, and then you get praised for doing it. like, oh my God, she's such a good girl. Oh, you're the best. You're, and all of this praise. Now, if that happens time and time and time again, you learn on an unconscious level, you learn subconsciously that if I do something that someone else wants me to do, I get praise for it. I get love for it. I get admiration for it. Now, if that happens again over and over for a long period of time, we're starting to form that disease to please. We're starting to say that what we innately feel, it doesn't matter because we're just going to do what someone else wants us to do because look, we're getting love. We're getting acceptance. We're getting praise. We're getting attention. So that's just like a small example of the disease to please and how it kind of forms. But you can see how if as a child you're connected to the fact that I don't want to do it, if over time this happens continuously, you no longer stay connected to what you feel because you just know innately that I got to do what this person wants because I'll get love and attention. That's the biggest part to take away from this. I'll get love and attention if I do what this person wants me to do. And again, I have a young son. I have a 4-year-old. So ever since he was able to talk pretty much, I always gave him options. I don't give him options in every single scenario. Sometimes we're just having this for dinner or we have to go here right now. We can't do this. And that's okay because that's just setting some boundaries. That's having a healthy, you know, outline and structure for a child. That's completely okay. But when I can give him choices, when it really doesn't matter if we're having peas or carrots for dinner, I let him choose. Or, you know, a bedtime snack. What would you like? For bath time, do you want bubbles in your bath or do you not want bubbles? Like, these are the choices that we should give our children. And I think years ago, we didn't give any of those choices to children. And I think that's kind of where the disease to please starts. So here's the first way to know if you suffer from the disease to please or people pleaser syndrome. So the number one way you can know if you're a people pleaser is you feel guilty when you say no to someone. If you feel guilt for saying no, then you have this like, you know, pain inside of you that you're going to disappoint someone or that someone's going to be so hurt by you saying no. And that is awful that we have that feeling that we feel that by saying no, that love is essentially love is conditional. That if I say no, you're not going to love me or you're going to be mad at me. So feeling guilty for saying no is, you know, the people that feel this are the people that always are helping out. They're always doing way too much for other people and never taking care of themselves. They don't know how to set boundaries. They definitely don't know how to enforce a boundary. They're just not connected to themselves enough to know that while I would love to help you, this isn't even about not wanting to help someone. This is about saying that I just need to put myself first and that if I'm not filled up, I can't help you because I need to be completely good to go before I say yes to anyone else. And that is the healthiest thing you can start doing for yourself. You know, you need to fill yourself up completely and then everything that you have that's left over, any amount of energy or whatever, can go to anyone else. But you have to take care of yourself first. The next way you can know if you suffer from being a people pleaser is you have a really hard time making decisions. And this was where I, ding, 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 this was like Stephanie right there. And I just like did this all the time with everything in life, pretty much. It was now looking back, I'm like, my God, what was wrong with me that I could never just make a decision? But, you know, of course I had moments of feeling guilty for saying no, but I didn't really suffer too much with that. I suffered a lot with this. And I always felt the need to ask opinions of others. I always wanted that validation that my decision was the right decision. And if that's you, that's people pleasing 101 tongue twister. But I always felt the need to ask people their thoughts and opinions. And while asking others what they think is totally fine, when you start questioning your own decision based off of what someone said to you, that's not okay. You know, because you know what's good for you. You know when you're making a bad decision, you know when you're making a good decision. And if you're picking between two shirts and one's white and one's red, and you know you don't love red, but you have them both up and you ask Susie, what do you think? And she says, I love red. And you're like, well, I really like white, but I don't wear red enough. You buy white. You buy what you want. You do what you want. You are a grown adult. You can make your own decisions, and you have to just stick with what you innately were feeling. I always found it funny, the people that they could just make decisions like that. It's like they almost didn't think about it at all, and they just like made a decision. And me personally, I don't think that that's healthy either, because I do think to some extent you should think out certain decisions. I mean, not every single decision in life, but definitely major decisions, I think that is a healthy way to kind of tackle it. But the people that take forever to make a decision or can never make a decision or have to ask everyone what they think before they make it, it's like, you know, one end of the spectrum. It was always the people in the middle that just need a little bit of time for them to kind of think in their own minds by themselves, but eventually they came to the answer themselves and never asked anyone what they thought. Those are the people that I always admired, and that's kind of who I am today. I don't really ask a lot of opinions, and when I do, I'm so aware of what my opinion already was. And if I feel myself starting to get into that old pattern, which very rarely happens nowadays, I can recognize it, and I still innately go with my gut. And I'm never wrong. I'm never disappointed with the decision that I made when I just trust my own intuition and my own self. One of the biggest signs of a people pleaser is someone that fears confrontation. And, you know, these are the people that get so nervous or anxious if they know they have to stand up for themselves. They almost avoid conflict at any turn. They, you know, don't want to say no. They don't know how to enforce boundaries. They don't know how to stand up for themselves. And this is, you know, not just someone who's a people pleaser. This also has a lot to do with, like, you know, your self-confidence, your self-worth, and how you love yourself. But people pleasers are really those types of people that oftentimes don't like confrontation, and they're not good at it. And when someone kind of, you know, really stands up to them, they just completely back down. And if you resonate with any of this, you are a prime target for narcissistic abuse, emotional abuse. You're going to be taken advantage of. And that's something that's really important to understand. This isn't just a matter of not being a people pleaser. This is a matter of not being a people pleaser, so you're not a target for abuse. You're not a target to attract whatever, friendships, coworkers, romantic partners, you know, learning how to manage your relationships with family and friends. All of this intertwines with really just learning how to love yourself and take care of yourself, so you know how to stand up for yourself. You know how to make decisions. You know how to say no to someone and not feel guilty about it. It's about putting yourself first, trusting your own intuition, and really learning how to just love yourself. The biggest lessons I learned when I was tackling codependency, when I was learning about the disease to please, was realizing that I had a voice, that I could trust my intuition, that I knew what was best for me, and that the opinions of others just really didn't matter. Like, when I started to really understand that and I got it, and again, this isn't something where you just say, I have a voice and I'm not gonna, you know, fear confrontation. I'm gonna stand up for myself. This was years and years of practicing this stuff, of being in situations where I did fear confrontation with certain people, but just being mindful of the fact that my fear of confronting this person was old patterns or an old program that I had to change. It was all habits that I had to change. It was about rewiring my brain or reprogramming my, you know, subconscious to have different thoughts. And one of the reasons why I talk so much about learning how to parent yourself, learning what self-love is because that's the stuff that's the foundation of you being able to get rid of this disease to please, of you overcoming codependency, of you learning how to really love and take care of yourself to not be a prime target for abuse. And all of this stuff allows you to lead a really happy and peaceful life when you can learn all of this information and learn how to start practicing it in your life. And again, this is a practice. So you watch these videos time and time again. When I was going through you know, my years of learning this stuff and really understanding it, I watched videos all the time. I mean, as much as I possibly could on any topic that resonated with me at the time. So whether it was narcissistic abuse, going through heartbreak or divorce, learning about codependency, how to, you know, increase my self-confidence, the disease to please, all of this stuff. I was constantly listening to speakers and coaches and people that would feed my mind with the stuff that I didn't have in there already. You know, you can't get rid of an old habit unless you kind of, or an old thought, unless you replace it with a new one. You can't get rid of a belief, which is just a thought that you have thought time and time again, that then it turns into a belief until you replace it with new thoughts. And because I wasn't able to just do this on my own, I watched tapes and I listened to people and I read books. And every person that you'll listen to, from a Tony Robbins to a Jody who is just becoming a life coach or a therapist or a healer or whatever, they all did the same stuff. They all dove into self-development to learn, how do I get rid of this disease to please? How do I get rid of this codependency? How do I change these habits and have more confidence in myself and be healthier and be happy? So I think that that's really important to understand, that all of this stuff is a practice. And like I said, watch these tapes again and again, and this stuff will get into your mind and you'll become more aware of it when you are in situations where you're finding yourself, you know, being a people pleaser. And you'll be more aware when you're saying no, when you want to say, or excuse me, you're saying yes when you want to say no. So I hope that that has helped you guys out there that do suffer from the disease to please. You can 100%, you know, move through this and learn how to really love yourself.
So that is it for now. Thank you guys so much for tuning in, and I will see you in my next episode.